Amen. All right, if you would take your Bibles this evening, turn to Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter 22. Thank you again for allowing us to come and be part in these days of meeting. And had it been 6 months ago or when we planned the meeting, he would announce me being from Ball Road Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. But God transplanted us. He did some workings that 6 months ago I never would have probably realized. But I appreciate His Word, and where He guides, He'll provide.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want to look at this evening. Very familiar text, Genesis 22. I know it's been preached from a lot and expounded upon a lot, and I won't say anything new. Anything new around here is probably wrong by now. And so let's just take the Word of God and see what the Lord has for us this evening. I'm interested in the first mention of worship. There's a lot of talk about worship in 2009. You got praise and worship teams, praise and worship services. And I think that we've got a little confused about what worship is. And I believe I tried to go back and find the first time that it was mentioned. They told me that the first mention of a situation or a circumstance kind of sets the precedent that carries throughout the Word of God. And so I believe if we can get a little insight on this tonight, that it may help us where we're living in 2009. Very familiar story, Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now watch this conversation here. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, my father, and said, my father, or his father, and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. I want to use these verses, if you'll keep your Bibles open, we'll look quickly. And the first witness, if you will, of worship. The first witness of worship. And as we said, if we can find the principle of what's taught here, it carries usually carries throughout the Word of God, and I believe it can carry right into our lives of where we're living this evening. I really don't know how much we want to know more of God, because the more we know of God, the more it takes us into places such as the garden that we looked at on Monday night, and such as this place of this mountain here, this experience with Abraham and Isaac. You and I already know how the story ends, so we take for granted everything that goes on in between. And I want to look at this evening on this first witness of worship. In verse number 1, there is a summons that's personal. This isn't public worship. It isn't performing worship, praise and worship and all of that. But this is personal. God summons Abraham. This isn't a conversation between Abraham and God. It's a conversation with God talking to Abraham. Abraham doesn't respond. He doesn't reply. He's obedient to the Word of God. There's a whole lot mentioned where it said in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things. We could take the rest of the night and try to expound upon after these things. I do want to say this, that God gave Abraham his desire, gave him his dream, gave him his prayer when Isaac was born. Now God is saying, Abraham, I want you to take that gift that I gave you, that blessing that I gave you, and I want you to give it back. I preached one time on how will you react when God wants that blessing back. How are we going to react? Those things that God has blessed us with in days gone by, when God turns around and says, now bring them back. Bring them back to me and offer them. Hey, they already belong to God. They belong to Him then. They belong to Him now. And they belong to Him out in the future when He may require them. Abraham didn't summons God, but God summons Abraham. It may be that when you and I enter into genuine worship, it won't be us looking for Him and seeking Him and running after Him, and I'm not doing any injustice to the Bible, but I'm showing you in this text that God spoke to Abraham. God ushered him in to this atmosphere of worship. Now there's no shouting, there's no running, there's no swinging from the chandeliers, and all of that. I love it when God allows it to come, but we're getting ready to see another atmosphere of worship that a lot of us are living in, and we don't even realize it. We don't even find the devil mentioned in this text. We think the devil has lamb blasted us and just side swiped us and knocked us about out of the race. But the devil's not even mentioned. God has summoned Abraham personally to this place of worship. In verse number two, this witness of worship, there's a sacrifice required that's priceless. In verse 2, God's directing. And He said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac. Abraham doesn't say, now wait a minute, God. He doesn't say, let's make a deal. Abraham could say, God, I do have Ishmael, by the way, that I did father. But God never does refer to Ishmael as a son of Abraham. I never have understood all of that, but God said, take now thy son, thy only son. And Abraham doesn't argue. And you and I are going to have to learn. I'm not saying it's easy. It's easier to preach than it is to live. But we can't argue when God summons us to this place. He's provided in days gone by. He's met His need in days gone by. And there's no need, those songwriters said, there's no need to doubt Him now. God's directing. God's demanding. Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee. That sounds like my daddy talking. And get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him. He's demanding. He's laying out a course. It's not multiple choice. It's not the best five alternative answers. He's demanding what He wants from His servant. You let most Baptists get in that place and let them testify, and they'll say, oh, preacher, oh, the devil and the world, it's just about more than I can handle. And it's just about to put me out. I don't know if I'll be able to make it any further. If I can just endure, if I can just make it up the rough side. Could it be that God Almighty is calling us into these places so that He can reveal Himself and where we can have genuine true worship? He's directing, He's demanding in verse 2, and then He's defining. He said, I want you to take him and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. There's a sacrifice that's priceless. No conversation back from Abraham. He's just obedient to the Word of God. Verse number 3, there's a submission that's performed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. I bet that was a long night. I like to read in between the lines and try to visualize what's going on. Abraham got up early in the morning. He probably got up before Sarah did. I don't see Abraham saying, Sarah, God told me to take our boy up on the mountain and offer him for a sacrifice. I don't know how that would have set with Sarah. I don't know really why God didn't involve Sarah in this, but I know that she does pass on in chapter number 23. We do find that out, but it could be that she might have got in the way. That motherly instinct and all of that that's in dwelled in her, she might have said, no, let me lay down my life. He got up early. He got up early that morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. That submission that's performed. This could be, I really believe this could be the key to real worship. I remember when God began to move in moving me from Tennessee to North Carolina. And I mean, this became so real. It wasn't me praying, you know, God, move me somewhere. I don't like my church. I don't love my people. That's not true. I have no bad things to say about those people that I left on that side of the mountain. All that I know is that I was summoned. The circumstances that come involved with it, with my mother and my children and young converts back on that side of the mountain that got saved. I didn't understand it all. All of it didn't feel good. But I knew that I'd been summoned by God to be able to go towards real, genuine worship. This summons, this sacrifice, it brings about a submission. Abraham has never been this way before. Or maybe you're in a place this evening, maybe you're living in a situation and you say, preacher, I've never been this way before. It could be. If it's, you say, well, how do I know it's not sin? Him that knoweth to do good. Not him that thinketh or is worried about it, but him that knoweth to do good and do it not. To him it's sin. If it's sin in your life, you know it. God's already enlightened you on it. The Holy Spirit deals with you. The Word of God reveals it. You don't have to sit and fret and say, well, is this sin? Have I done something? If it's sin, you know it. Verse 4 and 5, he sees that place. He's already referred to it in verse number 2. He said, offer him there. Verse number 3, the place. Verse number 4 and 5, the place. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. This is a destined place where God will summons us to worship him. He demands, and I want to say it like I believe it's written, he demands us to come and worship. He doesn't say, now, Jimbo, if you'd like to, you know, if this would fit into your schedule at 45 years old and your kids have just got settled in to a school system and you've been at your church 12 years and everything just seems to be, you know, going to roll on through life. You know, if you would like to step a little closer to me, if you would like to draw near to the Lord, you know, if you'd like to take these steps, we can talk about it. That's not what happened to Abraham. God summoned him. He's taken that trip by faith. And then he sees the place in verse 4. We don't choose the time when God summons us to worship. We don't choose what the touch may be. But as Abraham did, and as you and I have got to do, we've got to trust God. Abraham could have rebelled. He could have rebelled. He could have done what most normal daddies would have done and grabbed his son and ran. God, you want me to offer my son? I mean, you want me to... And see, you and I already know the end of the story, so it doesn't make much impact on us. But Abraham could have run. He could have rebelled. He could have rejected that summons. But yet he rested. He rested in the promise of God. We don't have time to go back to chapter 17, but God promised him a seed. And through that seed, he was going to make a great nation. You say, well, hey, Abraham ought to hold on to that. Well, why do you and I don't hold on to so many things that we've heard in days gone by? All Abraham's got is one word that God said he would do. We've heard the Bible preached. We've heard it frontwards and backwards, from young and old, from educated and uneducated. We've heard it loud. We've heard it silently. It's on the radio, the TV, the internet. Why don't we trust that one simple word that Abraham got? See in the place. And here's where I want to get to, and I'll be done. Verse number 8, there's the sovereign's provision. Verse 6 and 7, you know the story. We read it. Abraham, he takes the wood, and him and Isaac get to talking. And I was visualizing this conversation one day, Brother Scott. Isaac, verse 7, spake unto Abraham, his father. And here's what he said. I never said my father when I was talking to my daddy. I said, Daddy. And I can see Isaac looking and saying, my father, Daddy. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, we got the fire and we got the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And verse number 8, for the first time probably in Abraham's life, he's having to say to Isaac, Isaac, I can't. Isaac, I can't answer. I don't have the answer. My boys are getting older now and they're playing baseball and they want to hunt and they fish and things like that. And I've got this arthritis that comes along with this this psoriasis, and I can't even hardly make a fist, but I'll find a way to hit you if you have to fight after service. But I can't hardly make it, and it's just more, I don't ask for pity, but it's just more bothersome. You can't pick up a pen, and this you go to grab a wrench and it falls out of your hand, and you have to take 10 Advil, and you know what that does. And oh, I mean, it's just cumbersome, but it's hard to a daddy's pride to look at his boy and this make the statement, son, I can't. Maybe for the first time in Abraham's life, he said, Isaac, my son, verse 8, I can't. But he said, God can. In verse number 8, watch this, just a little simple sentence. I never will forget when God made this real in my life. The first mention right there, verse number 9, and they came to the place, which I've done missed it. In verse 8, Abraham said, my son, and here it is the statement, God. The potentate is seen. I had to use that word potentate a lot on the other side of the mountain. It's a biblical word. But it means he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the sovereign monarch of the universe. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's bigger than everything that you and I will ever come in. Oh, Brother Clint Kearns down in Georgia wrote a song out of this text. He wrote, God sees both sides of the mountain. I'm glad God does. I didn't see both sides of the mountain. All I saw was what I was leaving and everything that was going to happen over there. I didn't know exactly what all would transpire here. But by faith, I'm not trying to lift up myself. I'm just telling you, you're not alone tonight. The steps you're taking, you're not taking them alone. The potentate is seen. He's revealed. It's God. God. That's what genuine worship is all about. Isn't it amazing in the first mention, in the atmosphere of the first mention of worship, the potentate, God, is the one that it's all about. Through trials that are hard to conceive. Can you imagine God giving you direction to give up your son? Can you imagine God maybe redirecting your life and redirecting your employment? See, a lot of that's happening where we're living now, especially over where I'm at in Alexander County. We've got an unemployment rate now of almost 17%. It's not because people don't want to work, but it's because they can't. And I've not heard it much, but I know people, and I am one of them, and I know that it's normal and it's common to think the devil is tearing things apart. We've been praying for years that God would awaken America. We've been praying that God would awaken our churches. We saw a little bit on 9/11. God kind of rumble our nation for a couple of weeks. But then they just drifted back off into that slumber. But I'm telling you, individually and collectively as a church, God is able to awaken us to worship. And it may come financially. It may come physically. It may come mentally through your own faculties that God commands you to come and worship in a place you never thought. Trials that are hard to conceive. Testings like Abraham's going through here. And the handles of it are out of our control. As a parent, as Abraham was a parent, a father, as long as you can handle it, it's all right. My little girl, she had strep throat just a couple of weeks ago, and she spiked a real high fever, got talking delirious, and I'm telling you, it made me nervous. And I was beyond Advil and Tylenol. It was time to get her to a doctor. There's testings that, and the handles of it are out of our control. When it gets to where you can't control it and you can't direct it and you can't guide it, you may be about to step into worship. Well, you say, preacher, there ain't nobody shouting here. Ain't nobody running around the building. Somebody's getting ready to get help. Abraham and Isaac both are getting ready to get eternal help. That's forever going to change destiny in mankind. But it all comes through this place of worship. We trust in how that He's come through before. I love to preach out of the book of Ruth. I love to preach it backwards. From chapter 4 backwards, and I can preach on the sovereignty of God. Because you can go from chapter 4 backwards and you can see God moving, interweaving, guiding, directing. But you go from chapter 1 and go forward, it looks bad every verse. Interracial marriage, dead daddy, boys die, daughter-in-law turning back. I mean, every step of the way going forward, it looks hard and rough. But you get to chapter 4 and go back, hey, it's easy to see the hand of God. I'm not belittling where you're at and what you're going through tonight. But there will come a day when we get on the other side of this place of worship that we'll be able to look back and see it wasn't out of God's hand. It wasn't out of His control. It wasn't bigger than Him. But our simple submission brought us safe thus far. That's all Abraham had was past promises. One verse back in chapter 17. Notice he said God. Verse number 8, talking to his son, he said God will. A promise that is sure. Not God might. Not maybe God, but respectfully Abraham saying he must. He's not saying it demanding God. He's saying it with that quivering lip Job had last night, saying, boy, he's got to. He's got to come through this time. He has all the way back ever since I met Him. He's guided and provided. But boy, He's got to this time. Hey, I'm telling you, if we can ever step over into that place of worship, it'll forever change the way we see God. You say, why must He? Because He said He would. He's a man of His word. I promise you there'll come a summons in your life when all that you have is the promises of God. And it's sad many can't rest spiritually because they've never read and been enlightened of the Word of God. Abraham told Isaac, he said, God will, notice that next statement, provide. There's a provision without any stipulation. God will provide. What will He provide? Abraham's speaking to his son Isaac. And he's looking at him and he's saying, son, I can't fix it this time. I can't do what needs to be done, but God can. One writer, I better not say his name, here's what he said. I loved it. He said, God alone could supply that which would satisfy himself. He contrasted verse number 8. The verse doesn't read, God himself will provide a lamb. But it reads, God will provide himself a lamb. Change them words around a little bit and it changes the whole picture right there. Not God himself will provide a lamb, but God will provide himself a lamb. God ain't going to bring in another lamb. God is the lamb. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There wasn't no ram or lamb that they could bring that would satisfy God. God will provide himself a lamb. This place of worship is just Abraham, Isaac, and God. And that tells us we are never alone. Don't you know they felt lonely up there? It's all about seeing Him. He said, God will provide. Then there's a personal sacrifice. God will provide Himself. Same thing we said on Monday. The Bible's the same from beginning to the end. It's just different characters. It's the same storyline. It's just different individuals, but it's the same results. It sounds like this is a mean God saying, I want back what I gave you. It sounds like he's mad that like Abraham's done something and now God's requiring some kind of recompense for what Abraham's done. Abraham hasn't done anything to offend God. Abraham has been summoned by God to step into a realm of worship like he's never been in before. It may be hard to understand, but God himself, our Father, our Savior, has summoned some of us to see Him as He really is. You and I get to experience as Abraham firsthand that witness of worship. Brother Ricky Atkinson, most people know him. I know his daddy. Brother Marion made this statement, God will meet you where He leads you. My brother used to have a plaque over his wood-burning stove and it said, where God guides, God provides. You don't have to raise your hand. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm trying to relate to you. How many of us have said, boy, the devil's just tearing things all apart. Devil ain't mentioned in this text. Devil's not there. If the devil was there, he'd be trying to stop what was going on. If he had any inkling on what was going on, he would have showed up that day because this was a grand day. This wasn't just a mount. It was the Mount of Mounts. It shows back up in the New Testament where God the Father takes God His Son and He takes Him up on top of that Mount Moriah and He does slay Him. He does provide Himself a lamb. And that lamb and the blood that was shed is able to redeem. That's how you and I got saved. God will meet us. He'll meet us where He guides us. I was reading today and I jotted this down a while back. A preacher wrote this and it just helps. It was talking about in the days of Napoleon. I wished I'd have studied and listened more in school. But in the days of Napoleon, Napoleon was threatening to conquer the world and England was resisting. The English had a general named Wellington. He had gone to battle with Napoleon at Waterloo. The people were concerned and they were scared about how the battle was going. And all they had was Morse code and messages of light. And they'd send them across the English Channel. And the people, they'd anxiously stand on the side of the shore of the banks of the English Channel to get news of how the war was going. One morning, a message was sent, and it was tapped out, Wellington. And then the next word was tapped out, defeated. And about that time, a heavy fog set in over the English Channel, and the message couldn't be completed. So all those people on that side of the river, all they could see was Wellington defeated. Their hearts sunk. There was a spirit of gloom swept in over the people. Wellington defeated. They were saying Napoleon is won and what's going to come of the world. But in a few hours that fog lifted and the wind began to blow. I put that in there. And the wind began to blow. And the message was clearly completed. Wellington defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. And what they thought was a message of defeat indeed was a message of victory. You say, preacher, this thing's going to take me down. This is as far as I can go. No doubt, this will surely be the end of me. This may be what takes you farther than you've ever been with God in an element of worship, of seeing Him that you've read about and sung about and prayed to and talked to be able to be ushered into His presence. Could it be that we're just in a place of worship tonight? The old songwriter said, brethren, we have met to worship. Could it be that God has summoned some of us? We didn't run in and ask for this. We didn't come in and volunteer and say, here I am, turn my world upside down. But God has summoned us. Every head bowed, every eye closed, the musicians will come. We'll have a line of invitation and pastor will come as he's done each night. If there's going to be any invitation done, it'll take the sweet Spirit of God. I'm glad He's able. Maybe He just wants you to know this evening, He's not mad at you. He's not trying to hurt you. But maybe He's wanting to bring you into a realm of worship. Sacrifice to see Him as He really is. Maybe there's someone in the building. You say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. Maybe God's turned your financial world, your spiritual world, your physical world. And it's not so much that it's the devil. It's not so much that it's the brethren. It could be that God is directing. We like to talk about the sovereignty of God and all of that when it benefits us. But I'm telling you, you talk to Job. We talked about Job last night. You talk to him when his kids have died and his world's turned upside down. And say, boy, Job, you serve a sovereign God. Just keep trusting in Him, boy. Just keep trusting. He had no idea. He was ushered into a place of worship that would forever change his life. Maybe there's someone here this evening. You say, preacher, God spoke to me. And I just want to be obedient tonight. I just want to be honest. Nobody's looking around. Maybe just like to slip your hand up. You being honest, that's the step to get the help you need. God's already aware. Will we be honest? Would you slip your hand up and take it right back down? You may be here tonight and you've never been saved. And you're wondering how in the world you're going to face life alone. I'm glad you don't have to. This world is getting ready to be turned upside down. It would be a whole lot better to be part of the family of God. When the storms start coming and the lightning starts flashing, it would be good to have a cleft of a rock to be able to get under. My Heavenly Father, I pray again that You'd overshadow these few moments. Lord, I pray that You'd linger in these pews in our hearts. And Lord, help us to see You're not hurting us. Lord, You're probably just answering prayers we prayed in days gone by. You are drawing us closer to You, but You're doing it in ways we never thought. I pray, Lord, that You'd use these familiar verses. Drive them into our hearts and demand us as You did Abraham. Lord, we can't make those choices. We would not choose. God, I pray that You'd give us that direction that'll please You. And when it's all said and done, it'll bring You honor and glory. Give Brother Scott wisdom and leadership if there's to be a furtherance of the invitation as You've done each night. We'll thank You for all that's accomplished. In Your name we pray. Amen, preacher.